Today with Joseph Prince.
God never says, unless you line up, I will not touch you. Unless you change, I will not heal you. God never does that. God comes in the fullness of His love. He comes when man is at his extreme wickedness. There was a time, you know, the most extreme wickedness of man is not the other historical events. You think of all the dictators and all that and what they have done. Wicked as those things are, the most wicked thing is when God sent His Son, who did no sin, in Him is no sin, in you no sin, and then it's almost like we take Him and we put Him on the cross. He came loving, healing, and we put Him on the cross. It's almost like telling God, this is what we think of your Son. And then God took the cross and make it the very thing to redeem all of us from those things that are destroying us. Amen? Sin. Destruction, the curse. You know, you cannot out-sin the grace of God. You know what a joy it is every time I see all of you. I feel like this is God's dream being fulfilled. In the heart of the Father, for aeons before time, God had you in mind. The Bible says that we were born in predestination to fulfill this dream, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So that's the first dream that God has when God planned for a family. Even all creation is to serve this purpose. The second thing is the church. God's dream is for the church. Amen. How does all this pertain to me, Pastor Prince? Last night I didn't have a good sleep. This past week has been terrible for me. I have had challenges after challenges. And last week, I got a bad report from the doctor. How will all this God's dream affect me? Well, many a times the larger incorporates or encompass or includes the lesser. All our needs actually compared with eternity is less. Amen. When we understand God's purpose, we fit in. We see where we have lost our bearings, where we have, you know, not followed the compass, the true north, which is God's plan for our life. Today we see the world no longer wanting to follow God's pattern. We see the world abusing their bodies, abusing the gifts that God has given, all the gifts that God has given, whether it's their body, you're only on one body, by the way. Take care of it. This is the house you live in. You got no other house, you know. I know you're Singaporeans. I know you can buy more than one house. I know you can invest, but this is not like HDB, you know. This is not like selling off a property and then buying another one. You got only one property, this house that you live in. God has given you this house. Take good care of it. Amen? And the devil wants to destroy it. The devil wants to destroy it. There's a very beautiful verse in the Bible that says, my flesh shall rest in hope. And it's in reference to Jesus when he was in the grave. He knew the Father would resurrect him. He knew resurrection day is coming. So he says, even my body rests in hope. And his body never decayed. He's the only man whose body never decayed because there's no sin in him. Amen. All the sin that he carried in his body was finished at the cross, put away, and when he was buried, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. So God's dream is for all of us to be conformed to the image of His Son, the pattern Son, the model Son, the sample Son. Amen? And then God's dream is the church. All of you are the church. That's why I say I'm so happy to see all of you. Amen? You are the church, not the building. And the church, the devil has, you know, down through the centuries, the devil has attacked the church, made the church appear like it is a hierarchy, it is an ecclesiastical order, it is a building, it is a city, a place. Makes you think that the church is a massive type of human government. It is not. The church is the greatest organization, you can say it, in the entire universe, where God stores His wisdom. If you want wisdom, the place to go is the church. Amen. If you want the supply of health that the world cannot give you, peace that Jesus says the world cannot give, amen. Relationships that is blessed of God, because God is the one that gave relationships. And God put the first man and woman together, and God instituted marriage. God is the one that did marriage, amen? But today, man is abusing everything that, by the way, the word abuse, abnormal use, amen? If I need to nail something into a wood, and I use my shoe, okay? I'm abusing my shoe. How many know that? If I take someone's head, it's a bad image. Anyway, that's abuse. Amen. Abnormal use. Say abuse. So there's all kinds of, there's physical abuse. Your body is not designed to take some of these drugs, and you are just pumping your body full of the drugs, and you know you are addicted, but you don't seek for help. That's abuse. Amen. Then there's also abusing your body in other ways, like overeating. Amen. No amen for this one, for sure. Overeating, amen. Over drinking, over staying up late, amen. Not having enough rest. That's not using your body correctly. That's abuse, abnormal use of your body, amen. A marriage, amen. If you physically discourage, hurt, amen, your loved one, your spouse, that's abuse of your spouse. Spouse abuse, or even physically, if you hit your spouse, that's physically abuse, amen? Sexual abuse, look at God's pattern. A man and a woman in the beginning. God made man and woman, and God brought them together. It's God's idea. And everything that God dreams of for man is full of glory, amen? It's the fullness of joy, amen? It's the intensest of all pleasures. Amen. God's ideas, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not evil. Because God is a good God. His heart is love. It is always giving. Love is always giving. And never, He never skims on what He gives. Amen. He gives with a large hand, with a bountiful heart. Amen. Yesterday, my son was saying that there's a verse that he learned from Rock Kids. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. And then we look at the verse together. We're trying to find the version that he memorized from. So finally, I show him all the version. He saw the version, New International Version. He was so excited. This is the one. This is the one. So I said, let's read it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and does not fault find. That version says he does not fault find. He gives to all generously. That's how God is. When you see God, when you come in prayer, you see, God is generous with you. Can I have a good amen? So today, because of abuse, we are in the state that we are in. And God never says, unless you line up, I will not touch you. Unless you change, I will not heal you. God never does that. God comes in the fullness of His love. He comes when man is at his extreme wickedness. There was a time. You know, the most extreme wickedness of man is not the other historical events. You think of all the dictators and all that and what they have done. Wicked as those things are, the most wicked thing is when God sent His Son, who did no sin, in Him is no sin, He knew no sin. And then it's almost like we take Him and we put Him on the cross. He came loving, healing, and we put Him on the cross. It's almost like telling God, this is what we think of your Son. And then God took the cross and make it the very thing to redeem all of us from those things that are destroying us. Amen? Sin, destruction, the curse. You know, you cannot out-sin the grace of God. You cannot. When man comes to his end, you should many a times God waits for man to come to his end. Like in the Bible, if you want to know the Bible, the Old Testament, it starts with man in the garden in innocence. Even in a perfect environment, man still want to sin against God. Amen? Then God gave the law. All right? You obey this and I'll bless you. Again, man cannot. And God knew that man cannot. But man does not know he cannot. Today, even man does not know he cannot keep the law. There are still those who are fighting to keep the law, not knowing the purpose of the law. That's abuse of the law. I am for the law for the reason God gave the law. Amen. Then the law, after the law period was the judges. The period of the judges, even the last of them failed. Samson, the blinded judge. Amen. Between two pillars. Then God tried judges, failed. Man failed. Then after the judges, we have the kings. The kings all failed miserably. With the last king, also blinded, when Nebuchadnezzar came in and put out his eyes. Amen. Everything that is the organization or the administration of man will always fail. Amen. Then God brought grace. The Bible tells us when all this, when man has come to the end, instead of turning his back on us, God says, I was just waiting for you to lose your strength. Like you cannot save someone who is drowning, amen, in the water, because if you jump in too early, he will pull you down. Amen. You got to wait until he has lost his strength. He cannot save himself anymore. Then he's in a position to be saved. So don't wait until you come to that time. Amen. God, your weakness doesn't turn God off. God loves it. God loves it. Amen. When you are willing to be weak. Because his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can carry on. Raised by his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So sometimes we go through all these sufferings and we don't realize that God doesn't want you to suffer. But many a times, the suffering is self-imposed. Plus, there is an enemy of your soul. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Amen. These are principalities and powers, and they are no respecter of persons. They will attack your children if they get a chance. Amen. And that's why we are not, listen carefully, we are not in a world before you hear the good news. Sometimes you're going to know what's the bad news. Or else the good news is not good. If there's no problem, if it ain't broken, why fix it? But it is broken. Amen. If something is broken, praise God. Thank God. If your phone is broken and the guy sitting beside you right now is a phone repairer and he has his toolbox with him. Amen. Are you happy? Amen. I know you're addicted to your phones, many of you. So, are you happy? Yes. But if it's not broken, it's not good news to have someone like that beside you right now. Am I right? Amen. So let's talk about the bad news first. The bad news is that there is an enemy of your soul. And he's the one behind your restless sleep, not God. He's the one behind your broken heart. He's the one that destroyed that marriage. He's the one that brought those symptoms on your body that you're so afraid of when you hear the diagnosis of the doctor. He's the one behind every sickness and disease. We are in a fallen world. We got to face the facts. Amen. And there is sin. I said there is sin. Without sin, you won't have all these problems that man is facing. Today, the world don't want to talk about sin. Amen. They don't want to talk about judgment. There is judgment at the end. Yes. And without Christ, there is a Christless eternity. There is hell. Jesus talked more about hell than anybody else. And it's not spiritual. Jesus says the worm does not die. Cannot be spiritual. The fire is not quenched. Cannot be spiritual. It is a place. Amen. Today, people don't believe in hell anymore. Amen. They want to talk about God of love. And you know, God is just. Like I said before, if I sin against my son, Justin, he might not trust me for a while. Amen. He might even cry. Not much repercussion. If I sin against my wife, it might mean I sleep on the couch outside. All right, so far I've not done that. All right. If I sin against you as a friend or as a colleague, amen. You might not just give me any more assistance or whatever. You just ignore me. That's the price I pay. That's the penalty. If I sin against my boss, I might not be in for promotion anytime soon. But if I sin against the president, if I sin against you know, in a major way. I did something really bad, whatever. I mean, the repercussion can be not just imprisonment, can be death sentence. Even in the natural, we talk about this. And the world understands this. And yet, when people sin against God, they think it's nothing. We are sinning against a thrice holy God. Amen. God is holy. Amen. And sin will be punished. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God intervened when all of us are actually on a chute going down to the rubbish heap to be burned in an incinerator. And you wouldn't even know. You can shout, "I don't like God," but you are going there. Listen, you can shout all you want. You can use the breath that God gives you to shout up to the highest heaven, all right, that you don't believe God and all that. You're still going to not change your destination. You cannot, you see, yes, you are free, but you cannot change the result of your choice. You put your finger in the fire. You cannot say, "I choose to put my finger in the fire, but I do not choose to be burned." Sorry, the consequence is established. Finger in fire, burn. It's very simple. It's like 2 and 2 is 4, equals burn. Amen. So the thing, you can shout and all that, but I look at a world that is professing themselves to be wise, become fools. We have much more help than we ever have, people, at our fingertips. Amen. We got assistance. We got things to help us save time. And yet we are rushing for time. We are supposed to be happier now. We have more wealth. Many countries are developing. Amen. Right? But it's not enough. Even our previous or present phone, it's not enough. There is a new phone. The phone is supposed to help us save time. All these devices are supposed to help us save time, like the washing machine, help us save time for washing and all that. And it's convenient, help us save energy and effort and you know, time used for other things. But we don't have time for family. We sit down in the same table, 4, 5, 6, 7 of us, and then we are all looking at something else. Things that cannot love us, things that cannot repay us. Amen. Archibald Holt, a man, a professor, a Christian professor, said this, that there is a condition called anhedonia, from the word hedonistic, like, you know, pursuit of pleasure. An means neutralized. That means it is, there's no more pleasure. We are a society that doesn't understand what is pleasure anymore. We have so much pleasure that pleasure is no more pleasure. We become jaded. So when God tells us His ways is to enhance your pleasure, is to complete your joy. Yeah. "These things I've spoken to you," the Lord said, "that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." God is not a joy killer. He's a joy giver. Have you noticed when the devil takes hold of someone in their mind and all that, they become depressed? Have you noticed that there's no joy? That's what the devil produces. He produces depression. And he tells you, all right, you take this tranquilizer, it will help you. Next thing you know, you're addicted to a tranquilizer. You try to stop the tranquilizer, you go and spiral downward in an even worse depression. So what's the answer? Another type of tranquilizer to neutralize the effect of the first tranquilizer. Amen. And then you are now a drug addict. Amen. Pastor, where are we heading with this? Good news is coming. And recently I read in Singapore that more young people are committing suicide. They have more clothing and shoes and gadgets. Amen. And knowledge, and social media. I think they're supposed to have more friends, right? And yet they are still unhappy. Are we missing something? Yes. We forget. Sin is sin and there is a devil. We need to find God's plan. Amen. And God wants you to know His plan. He loves you. And all the people said, yeah. Amen. Amen. So now that we are safe, all right, I'm speaking to people that have put their trust in Christ. Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead without our sins. He effectively put them all away through His blood. Amen. Amen. And when He rose from the dead, from then on, your identity is now in Him. So Romans 5 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God, not trying to look for it. through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have gained access by faith into this grace, into this favor in which we now stand. Folks, once you are justified by faith, you have access. It's like speaking to this generation. Everything, you must have access. Amen? You go into a building, you gotta have access to that building. You gotta know the password, the PIN, the code. Anything, your ATM, you gotta have access. To have access to your ATM, you gotta have your PIN number. Am I right? Well, now that we are justified by faith with God, we have access into this place called favor, grace. In this grace where we stand, wherever you go is grace ground. I want you to know you're not like the people of the world. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. Therefore, the things of the world should not affect you, should not come on you. But we know Christians are also known for divorce cases and depression and being drug addicts and things like that. This should not be. But God wants you to be set free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. We're not going to join the ranks of people, amen, justifying their sin, negating God, making themselves task as God. I know better than God. Always saying, how can God, how can God, how can God? You with your peanut brain want to judge the Almighty God? Wrong. We got the whole thing in reverse. Amen. God is a judge. Compared to Him, you won't last long, you know. He will outlast you. Let me tell you this. Amen. So we have access by faith into this grace. So now we have access by faith into this favor. Grace can be favor. It's favor, this place of favor with God, favor, ground. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. That means hope is always future. Hope is a positive expectation of good. In fact, Vine defines hope. The Greek word for hope is, think of Elvis, okay? Then you understand this. You can memorize this. Elpis. Say Elpis. So not Elvis, Elpis. Shouldn't mention Elvis then. Instead of VP, okay, Elpis. Elpis is a positive expectation of good. Vine, Greek scholar, he says that Elpis is a favorable and confident expectation. He also said it's a happy expectation of good. In fact, the most frequently used is the happy expectation of good. That's hope. Amen. And the Bible says we boast, literally the word is boast, in positive expectation of good in our future. And this good is the glory of God, the glory of God manifested in our lives. Amen. In our person. For sin is defined as coming short or forfeiting the glory of God, we are back. Amen. And the glory will manifest in your marriage. It will manifest in your body. It will manifest in your relationships. It will manifest in everything you touch, think, say, and do. Amen. Praise God. So, next verse. It says, not only that we glory or boast in anticipation of the glory of God, not only that, we also boast in our sufferings. The old King James says tribulation, sufferings. Now, this is like weird. It's like, if you think about it, wow, we boast in our sufferings. Sufferings is not from God. Look at God's original plan in the Garden of Eden. No one suffered. Everything was there in abundance, right? Suffering came because of sin. But it's just telling you, when suffering happened, now God is going to deal with the world as it is. Because of what Jesus did at the cross, now suffering will produce something in you if you know the plan of God. So whatever suffering is, amen? It does not say you will stay in that suffering. It says that suffering, we boast in suffering, knowing this, suffering produces perseverance. I told some pastors, the other day that I don't think I'll be the pastor I am today had I not learned in my teens suffering. Not learn. You don't learn. Don't go to a school to learn. I'm more or less forced into it. Amen. I suffered. I suffered thinking that I committed the unpardonable sin. I suffered very, very young. Compared to my friend, I'm thinking to myself, why can't I have an enjoyable life? I suffered having sleepless nights. I suffered feeling like demons talking to me at night, oppressing my sleep. I suffered thinking I've lost my salvation. I suffered all those things at a young age, 18, 19 years old. You know, when I look back, it produced something in me, perseverance. So much so that the other sufferings now, and I've suffered people saying bad things about me. Amen. Even as a pastor, I have suffered, amen, people saying lying things about me and I feel like defending myself. And the Lord says, no, suffer it. Like David did. All right, because I want you to know you cannot defend yourself. But when I look back, now whatever people say doesn't matter. It's like there is something inside me already that I have perceived it through that. And now it's like, what you got? Chicken feet. Water off a duck's back. It's just a little comment. Amen. Who said it? Oh, that person said it. Okay, fine. Amen. It's no more, you know, I really don't, I'm not one of those that there are 10 comments, one negative comment, you zero your mind on it and you think about it, you're obsessed with it. I got no time. I don't even have time to look at my social media. I don't even know what's the latest following. Amen. So, I know many of you, you can't understand that kind of life, right? Amen. You're looking all the time, right? Halfway I'm preaching, you're also looking. Amen. You know what I call that? If your name is James, that's called James bondage. I'm trying to say it nicely. It's bondage. It's bondage to have to look all the time to see how many are following, how many are, you know. And but Pastor Prince, you got no one following you? Maybe, okay? Maybe that's the reason why I don't want to look at it. All right? But really, that's not the life that God wants us to live. It goes up when someone comments well, and it goes down when someone comments really bad. To see who is following you, or fear of missing out, and like the FOMO syndrome, amen. Or I call it FOLO, all right? Fear of losing out here in Singapore, amen. And you know, it's a bondage. It's really a bondage. Life should be happier than just that. Every time there's a thing, you got to look at your phone. I like life got to be. Come on, life got to be simpler than that, happier and peaceful. Can I have a good amen? Now, I'm not knocking this phone and all that. I have a handphone and I carry it everywhere I go. Okay? Not now. Amen? But it's a function. It's a tool. I do not serve it. It serves me. When it calls, I don't kowtow and obey all the time and say, yes, master, here I am. What is thy message? Open the gate first. Yes, master. Release me. Access code. Your thumbprint or whatever. Yes, master. You know, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make you feel to see that the whole thing is bondage. Whether it's James bondage or Jane bondage, amen, it's bondage. Pastor, you're so corny. I know. Perseverance will produce character. Character, hope. See what produces hope? Positive expectation of good. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character. That's what I'm looking for when I think of a leader's. To govern these great people, to provide oversight for these great people here in New Creation Church. I look for proven character. I don't just go for, oh, you know, I mean, I look for proven character. Character of people who know that they are weak depending on His strength. People have gone through hell and come out the other side knowing that only the Lord, His strength, amen, His love that matters. Not human effort. These are the ones, proven character. Then it'll produce hope. Hope for your future. And hope does not, listen carefully, hope does not put us to shame. When you have hope, it will not put you to shame. Today the world says what? Don't raise your... Can I tell you something? This is your pastor talking to you. Don't raise your hopelessness.
Come on.
It's already there already. Don't raise it anymore. You don't need help to raise your hopelessness. Every time you look at the news, it's raised. Every time you hear someone say something, it's race. The world, by default mode, is negative. Amen. You don't hear. You know, news does not thrive on good news. Today, 3,500,345 planes landed safely. Which is true. Maybe not 3 million, but I'm just rounding off figures somewhere from my head. I'm just saying that there are thousands and thousands of planes that landed safely. But they will not announce that. They'll announce the one that has an engine trouble. Right? That's how news work. But then what do you focus on? That one. So you take the plane, guess what? Maybe mine is the one. You are the one. Instead of being powered by one, you are being disempowered by that one bad news. Huh? That's not hope. It's the opposite of hope. It's no positive expectation of good. The Bible says God wants us to have hope. Amen. God wants us to have hope. And this hope will not put you to shame. And the world says you raise your hope, you'll be disappointed. You raise your hope, you'll be disappointed. Because once upon a time, when we were younger, without Christ, yes, we raised our hopes. We were people that, young people are very optimistic. You know what I'm saying? They have a positive expectation of good. They believe they can become the president. They can become the a doctor. They believe they can become an astronaut, you know? They have hope. But then without Christ, hope has no power. Amen. The reason you can believe for a good in your future, for a confident expectation of good, for a happy anticipation of good in your future, is because at the cross, Jesus bore all your sins and canceled out all the effects of those sins and the harvest of those sins. There's no bad things that will come back to haunt you. All your harvest of wages of sin, the harvest of your sins have all been harvested at the cross, if I can say that. And those harvests is cut down. Amen. When Jesus Christ finished, there's nothing waiting for you in the future except good. So believers should raise their hope. Elpis, are you listening, people? And this hope, the Bible promised, will not put you to shame. If you're sick in your body, you should have hope that you will be well. If you are suffering addiction, you must have hope that you will get out of it and you'll be delivered from it and much better, much freer, much stronger than ever before. Amen. If you are advancing in years, you must have hope that there are people who are young and strong and you'll feel stronger and younger than you were half your age. When you were half your age, amen, you were weaker, you were always tired. You'll be stronger than that age. You got to have hope. So when you hear people talking about hope, you don't get angry. You know, he's just painting pictures for people to be hopeful about. Amen. And see, I told you there are a lot of evangelists of hopelessness. We don't need any more. Amen. We need people to give hope. And the Bible preaches hope. Amen. When you read the Bible, it gives you hope. The Bible says that through the comfort of scriptures, we might find hope and consolation. Yeah. There's a verse that says, through the scriptures, we find hope. Now the God of hope. God is called the God of hope. Yeah. Now the God of hope. Fill you with all peace and believing, amen. So that you can have hope. It tells us that. The God of hope gives you hope. You have a God. It's not just, I hope it will happen one day, but you're without any power to see it come to pass. No, the God of hope is behind your hope. So if you're oppressed, yes, you can be free, but you can't imagine how does freedom look like? Amen. How does a peaceful night of rest look like? How is freedom from bitterness and unforgiveness look like? How is life like without being negative towards people all the time? Fault finding with people all the time. You know, how does it look like, Pastor Prince? Amen. You got to have hope first before you can see it. No, Pastor, the Bible says that faith is more important. The Bible says that Jesus turned to the woman who touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Jesus says, your faith made you well. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're right. Faith is like the currency of heaven. Show God your faith, He shows you what you want. I'm putting it very simply. Amen? Like if you go to Europe, you must have the euro. You go to Japan, you gotta have the yen. All right? It doesn't work for you, they might not accept your Singapore dollar. Amen? Not because it has no value. It's not their currency. The currency of exchange. So heaven's currency is faith. Yes, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why you're hearing now. Amen. But friend, have you ever read this verse? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which one comes first? If English is your language, tell me now. Which one comes first? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which one comes first? If there's no hope, faith has no substance. Because faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. You gotta have hope. Hope your body will be well. And some people are taught, you know, your background, you're taught that you gotta have faith. Faith is what heals, not hope. I understand that, but listen carefully. Without hope, there can be no faith. You gotta believe that your child will be well. You got to have that hope. You got to pray, like, you know, thanking God for that. Amen. Then your faith will work because faith is a substance whose stasis, which is under, stasis is stand. Faith is the thing that makes you stand in the things that you hope for. Faith undergirds you. Amen. For the things that you hope for. So faith is actually under your feet in this verse. Hypostasis, which is the Greek word, substance. Hope for is in front of you. Your goal, your destination. So that pain in your body, you gotta hope for a future where you are free from it. It can happen in one fell swoop. It can happen gradually as you partake of the Lord's Supper, communion. There's a lot of sick people, you know. There's a lot of people, I'm physically sick, I mean. There's a lot of sick people in the world. Someone knows someone very close who is sick. And that's why the Lord has provided the Lord's Supper. Amen. And it's called the Lord's Supper, not the Lord's breakfast. Because it is for the night seasons of your life. It is, the Bible says the Passover was instituted, amen, between two evenings. And the Bible says twilight time, but they actually partook of it nighttime, the Passover. Jesus, in the Last Supper, He instituted the Lord's Supper, amen, for us believers. After they took the Passover, He instituted the Lord's Supper. The Lord, in the night that He was betrayed, He took bread. Maybe it's a night season as well. Maybe you have been betrayed. What do you do? Take the Lord's Supper. Remember Him. Maybe right now you feel like all your exercise, all your observing good diet and all that has betrayed you. All of a sudden you're stunned. The doctors give you this diagnosis, this prognosis, and you do not know what to say because you have eaten well. I mean, you observe all that. You feel betrayed, don't you? Or you do a lot of things for someone and then the person turns around and pours the love or favor on somebody else instead. You feel betrayed, don't you? Well, Jesus, in the night that He was betrayed, 1 Corinthians 11, took bread. I think it's an example for all of us. In the night season, take bread. Remember Him. And by the way, the bread is not just for physical healing, right? The broken body of Jesus is also for your deliverance from oppression. Your mind is full of worry and care. You know, the old English word for worry is a word that means strangle. And sometimes worry does that, doesn't it? It strangles you, like you can't breathe. When you worry about something, it's like, oh, you got to wake up because you are so full of worry. Worry is from the word strangle, and old English for the word strangle. That's where worry comes from. Fear, anxiety is the same. Oppression. I tell you this, it's got to do with your mind. The Lord's Supper, when Jesus on the road to Emmaus, at the end of the journey, the 7-mile journey, He went into the house of the two and then He took bread. Amen. The guest became the host. And when He took the bread, the Bible says He broke the bread, their eyes were open. Their mind was beginning to comprehend. The understanding returned. There's another verse where He appeared in the upper room, then opened He their understanding. So the Lord's Supper is to open your understanding to the wisdom of God. Amen. Many a times, if you are oppressed, you are depressed, you can hardly even hear a sermon like this. Yeah. Listen. Yeah. It's not going to happen. Now. Faith is now. Now. Be in the now. People cannot be in the now. Because you know what? Fear and worry got to do with nothing to do with the now. Fear is something to do with the future. All right? Worry is the future. Guilt, condemnation, regret, the past. So if you are in regret, you are worried, you are not living now. You can be in a very beautiful place. You are in Hawaii. Aloha, oi. Aloha, oi. And they are dancing in front of you, calling oi, 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 so many times. And you are like, you're worried. You're living in the future, not living in Hawaii. I'm just giving an example that, you know, people don't live in the now. The Bible says now faith is. Both now, between faith is now and is. Both are present tense. Live in the now and you live in the realm of faith. The Bible says the time of salvation is now. It's never in the future. Amen. The time of salvation, the word salvation is soteria, also for healing, wholeness, deliverance, is now. If you live in the now, the Bible says God is a very present help. He is a very present help. Very present help in our time of need. Amen? So our minds are the ones being attacked. We are attacked like, you know, it's crazy. Yeah, people cannot focus because today especially, the phone and our social media and the kind of culture that we live in is full of distractions. We are so afraid of missing out that we want to have every information that we can have, but that knowledge, does it remind you of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? The tree that God didn't want man to eat from is not just the tree of evil. It's the tree of knowledge of good. Of good even, and evil. Amen. God wants man to live from the tree of life. Amen. So knowing that knowledge, what has it done for you, for your marriage? What has it done for your health? What has it done for your peace of mind? What has it done for you financially? What has it done for you, especially in your walk with God? Amen. Enjoying the kingdom life. Amen. That God wants you to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. What has it done for you? You spend so much time. You should spend time. Why? But Isaiah says it like this. And it's so relevant for our times. He says, why do you spend time for what is not bread? And for that which does not satisfy. Why do we spend so much time? Amen. We should. I'm not saying you don't throw away your phone or whatever. I didn't say that. I'm saying control it. Don't let it control you. It's almost like there's an invisible chain, and sometimes. And best of all, in church today, no one knows you are reading the Bible on your phone or you are actually surfing on the phone. I know there are pastors who are not happy when people fall asleep in their sermon. But this one pastor, if I see people falling asleep, I don't mind. Sometimes I believe the ministry of healing that God has given me, that helped them to sleep for the first time. So, Pastor, I can sleep. Help yourself. Help yourself. No problem. Amen. I don't get angry at people who fall asleep. I don't. At least they are sleeping in church. They are sleeping in the environment where God is. I know there are pastors who get angry. People come here and they fall asleep. I've been under those churches before. And they get angry. I feel like telling them, at least they are sleeping in church. They are sleeping in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They might wake up afterwards and say, what was that all about? They missed it. But at least they are in church. So keep on bringing your grandpa, amen. Keep on bringing your uncle. But Pastor, first few times they fall asleep, but you never know. In fact, if I can share this, Jocelyn shared very openly, Jocelyn Yeo, all right, our the darling swimmer of Singapore, amen. She Pastor Joe's wife, she shares that the time when she got saved, she was sleeping for the most part of the sermon. But right at the end, God arrested her. All of a sudden, altar call. She didn't hear it. She didn't hear the sermon. But the altar call, she felt compelled by the Holy Spirit and gave her life in front. She came forward to give her life to Jesus. Has she not done that? Amen. She won't be living the abundant life that she's living right now with beautiful children. Amen. And quite a beautiful husband. Amen. Here, the devil wants to attack this. Many times you think you are thinking those thoughts. You are not. When I was suffering those things that I said, I suffered 18 years old, 19 years old. You know, it wasn't me thinking those thoughts. What was your problem, Pastor? Blasphemous thoughts. I was so sincere. I want to be so close to God. All of a sudden, bang, blasphemous thoughts kept coming in my mind. And I thought it was like this from me. I never knew it's from outside in. I didn't know the devil can give you thoughts. Like Peter told Ananias, why has Satan put in your heart? Judas Iscariot, Satan put into his heart. Likewise, how does God speak to you? Nehemiah, God has put in my heart. Man of God, God has placed in my heart a desire. It is God who works in you, not outside, in you. In fact, God works in you. The devil works from outside because God forbid the devil works from inside. Oh, you don't want the devil to work from inside. What's your name? Legion. Today, what's your name? Zombie. And that's what a person a zombie is, a person who is half dead, half alive. You know, the living dead, the walking dead. It's literally sinners without Christ. They are alive, their heart goes boop, 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 but they're dead. And they feed on flesh. Only fleshly pursuits. You're not created for the dust. You're created for heavenly things. Amen. Child of God. Amen. Just like a little eaglet among the chickens. Somehow, it was born among the chickens. But when it looks at an eagle scream high up there with that shriek, that cry, something inside the eaglet says, I belong there. And all the chickens say, no, it's not practical like you. Not practical. Wake up to reality. Wake up. Don't raise your hopes so high. Next thing you know, hey, you heard brother cock-a-doodle-doo? Yeah, what happened? Yesterday, a snake came and gobbled him up. Oh, but the other day, I saw that eagle with a snake in his mouth. He flew really high, then he dropped the snake among the rocks. Then I saw him fly down and eat the snake. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Yes. But before this verse, it says, even the youths shall faint. And those who don't wait upon the Lord, they shall faint. Even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, regardless of age. Amen? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I have a good amen? Here is where we got to watch it. The devil attacks you. And you know what he does not? He throws the thought in you, I'm an addict. He used the personal pronoun. He doesn't use the second person, you. He used the first person, I, as if you are thinking those thoughts. So many a times, I would have blasphemous thoughts, and I think it's from me against God. Ah, oh no, oh no. And then when I'm praying, bad thoughts about God, a lot of blasphemous thoughts. Then I stopped praying. And slowly, I just left. I know He never leaves me, but I left the Lord. Amen. It's just the blasphemous thoughts. And I own it, you know? Just like the saying, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest. You can, you know? You can stop them from making a nest. You know here on there? Is he making a nest? I think so. Sure looks like a nest to me. I can't tell because sometimes your hair is a nest. But I think there's a bird there. Oops, sorry. Now there's an egg in the nest, on your nest. You can stop the bird from, you know, you can stop thoughts from flying. Some bad thoughts will come. Amen? It happens to all of us. Now here's the word of deliverance. When a bad thought comes, listen carefully. When an evil thought comes, a blasphemous thought comes, don't own it. It's a bird flying, that's all. Wow. It does not define you. Amen. Yep, including the bad thought you had about me when I came out just now. It's not you. You love me. And I love you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, now let us who are the day be sober. All right? We don't belong to the night season, but we go through the night season. One day there'll be no more night, the Bible tells us. But we are children of the day. We are children of the light. Let us put on the breastplate, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. So the breastplate protects you, your heart. Your heart is where the accusation comes in. The devil accuses you on your heart. Your conscience is always this realm. Faith and love will protect your heart. And that's why, regardless of what you hear, a sermon, whatever it is, if you leave with fear, if you leave with an attitude of holier than thou, bitter towards other Christians and all that, you have not heard the word of God. Because the word of God will always cause the breastplate of faith and love to be on your heart, on your conscience. Can I have a good amen? And then it says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation, the hope of soteria. Salvation is an all-encompassing word, all-inclusive word. It includes not just salvation from eternal destruction, salvation from hell, but salvation from sickness, Look it up. The word salvation is a noun, feminine noun, but the word soteria is a feminine noun, but it comes from the verb sozo, where Jesus told the woman, just now we talk about the woman who came behind and received healing. Jesus says, your faith has sozo you. So sozo is soteria is also healing, because sozo is in it. It's the verb form of soteria. Amen? Healing. It's rescue. Rescue from danger, deliverance, protection. Wow, when the angel was sent and said, and you shall call his name Jesus. In the Greek, it will be, you'll call his name soteria, salvation. His name, it is all-inclusive name. And he demonstrated his name everywhere he went. He set people free. The legion, the guy who was possessed with so many demons, he set him free. So much so, the man wants to be with Jesus. Amen. He healed. Everywhere he went, he healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. Can I have a good amen? I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell many of you watching this, you are having battle your thoughts. You know why? You know why those thoughts linger? Because you own it. You say it's you. So as long as you own it, amen, it becomes yours. And it stays because it's yours. But no more you say, no, these are not my thoughts. These are not my thoughts. Many of you have thoughts like you look down a very high building and all that, and the thought comes, jump. Amen? Don't say, well, how can I think that way? How can I? Don't accept it. It's not you. But the problem happens when young people start accepting that. And I think that's the reason why many are not very susceptible to those thoughts. And they don't have this hope of salvation. Hope of salvation means like positive, confident, happy expectation of good in your future. As a result that you know you are safe, Jesus took your sins at the cross. There's no sin that will penalize you or produce a bad fruit in your future. It's all been paid by Jesus. It's a hope of salvation. You have salvation. You have Jesus. You have forgiveness of sins. You have deliverance from the curse of the law. You have a good future. Amen. Only the blessings of God are in store for you in the future. So hope is a helmet. It's a helmet on your head. Amen. To protect you from, you're going to have a hope because of salvation. You are safe. That's how the world cannot raise their hopes. And rightly so. They cannot. They have no foundation for their hope. They just hope for the best. And that's the language they use. That is not your language, child of God. You have a solid, rock solid foundation to believe the best good in your future. Yeah. Amen. Jesus paid for you is a rock solid foundation. Why can you believe that you can be free from the addiction? Jesus shed his blood for it. Amen. Why can you believe that you can be well from that symptom, which even though it's a chronic symptom for years, because Jesus paid for it. And you're partaking the Lord's Supper. You're getting better and better and better and better. Eat your bread with joy. And drink your wine happily, cheerfully. Let your head lack no ointment, child of God. Amen. Amen. You're listening. So put on the breastplate. You know, as a young person, I was sharing with you that I read a book that says you can lose your salvation. And for some reason, I believe this author. I believe you can lose your salvation. The moment I did that, bang, all those blasphemous thoughts came. I can point to the very time when I started believing what I read. I don't fault the author, okay? I believe it, okay? And I believe you can lose your salvation, which I know now you cannot, amen? It's for eternal security, praise God. But I believe that. And the moment I believe that, that's when all those blasphemous thoughts came. You know why? There's no more helmet. There's no hope of salvation. Even though I was saved, I have salvation, there's no hope. Because I believe I was lost. The moment the first thought came against the Holy Spirit, blasphemous thoughts, bang, I said, I've committed the unpardonable sin. Which is not. I nearly lost my mind. Both Pastor Mark and I. The helmet, the breastplate are so vital to guard your heart from an evil conscience, from the accusation. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? And the helmet got to be there because when the devil says, no, you will die. You know why you'll die? Because your parents died. Your father died of this disease. Your father has this disease. So your father has it, all right? You will have it. That's how science goes, natural things. Now the chickens are talking, right? But you are an eaglet. and you're sprouting wings now. Amen. You belong to the heavenlies, not dust bound, not dirt bound. You belong to the heavenlies, child of God. Listen, so when you hear the kind of thought, albeit sincere and all that, in your mind, reject it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't accept natural verdict of men, lest their verdict becomes a sentence. Okay? You believe that word more than your father's word? She said, yes, I'm like my father, tell the person. And I'll end up like my father. The question is, which heavenly father or the earthly father? Amen? Because when I got born again, I receive a brand new DNA. Amen. 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 That's what, all things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Amen. That is the statement of our church, New Creation Church. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Number two, I'm bringing this to a close, Ray. Hope is an anchor for your soul. It's an anchor for your soul. In those days when Paul wrote this, and I believe Paul is the author of Hebrews, and by the Holy Spirit, the picture then was that they traveled by ship. They traveled by boats, okay? Vessels in those days. They don't fly in those days. But there is a promise that God says, I will cause you to right the high places of the earth. I think it's written to our times. Amen? But during that time, they go by boats. They go by vessels. Amen? So if they stop somewhere in the middle of the sea or somewhere near a port or whatever, they can't go in yet or whatever, what they need to do, not in the middle of the sea usually, but where there is, even though it's very deep, but there's ground, they will lower the anchor. Lower the anchor. Now, once the anchor takes hold, the heavy anchor, it drops bottom. Once it takes hold, listen carefully, the heavy anchor will stabilize the boat. Get the picture? Let's read the verse first. It says that by two things, which cannot, it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Church, this is language to the Hebrews. They understand the city of refuge. Paul is using their analogy from the Old Testament, amen, from their law, where someone who commits manslaughter, he kills someone, albeit it's not intentional, he can flee to a place called a city of refuge. Amen. Are you listening? And there are cities of refuge all over Israel. But he must run in before the avenger of blood, that person's brother or cousin or whatever who want to avenge his dead brother. He's going to find you. If he finds you before you reach the city, he can kill you. He can kill you legitimately. Amen. It's a picture of sinners. And there's an avenger of blood. Amen. And he's after you because he has a right to destroy you because you have sin and the wages of sin is death. So it's coming after you. But Jesus came as a city of refuge. Amen. Amen. And when you enter the city of refuge, listen carefully, your identity is no more that of a sinner because the city of refuge is inhabited by priests. And the priests, they eat the best. They drink the best. They have to be the best state because they come close to God to offer the offerings of the people. And the priests are never neglected. The priests, I'm saying never neglected in a generic way. In the Bible, Old Testament, there was a time, even Nehemiah knew it, they were neglected and all that. I'm speaking that God's plan for them is never to be neglected. So the city is a refuge, the place where there's abundance. So the sinner lives as if he is one of the chosen ones to come close to God. Priests are close to God. So it's a picture of us going to Jesus as our refuge. You understand that so far? So we have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope. Remember, it's impossible for God to lie. There are some things that's impossible for God to do. One is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. 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 So that we can have a strong consolation. Those of us who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Lay hold of this positive, confident expectation of good. Church, don't just listen to a sermon. Tell yourself, I lay hold on it. In your specific circumstances, whatever you're faced with right now, the doctors gave you a bad report and all that. Shift away from there. Instead of looking at a dark future, I told my friend, Samuel Smudger. I told my friend who was suffering from that bladder cancer, very rare form of bladder cancer, where the doctor says even with treatment, there's only 20% of survival chance. And he told me he started taking communion many times. He said, in fact, I talked to him the other day on the phone. He said that I've never taken communion more times than during this month when he's diagnosed. Even with treatment, only 20% of recovery. When I was in Israel with the pastors this past March, and I looked at him and I talked to him, I've never seen my good friend so downcast, so depressed, you know. And when we prayed for him, I had this in my spirit, this verse from Isaiah 54, because of Isaiah 53, what Jesus did at the cross. Isaiah 54 says, spare not. Come on, lengthen your cords, because they live in tents. Lengthen your tents. Amen. Get ready for growth, for you will break forth on the right hand, on the left. You have many children. For them in those days, it's a great blessing to have many children. Amen. Lengthen your cords. Prepare for success. Prepare for healing. Prepare for a healthy life. Amen. So I said, I see this, my friend, and I see your future. Right now, you're not planning for your future. All you see is darkness. Friend, don't do that. Start seeing yourself going to America. Start seeing yourself having holidays there. Start seeing yourself enjoying, you know, yourself, because he has relatives and friends in America and all that. I start saying, start planning. You're not planning, right? He says, no. Start planning. Amen. Plan for a person who is successful, healthy, and strong, going to all these places. And when we talked the other day, you know, he was still reminded of what I said. What was I doing? I'm giving him hope. Now, some people say, you know, when they hear me talk like that, the chickens will gather and say, you should not raise his hopes. Sorry, I wasn't talking to you. It was an eagle to an eagle. One eagle is hurt. I'm just telling that eagle, amen, I know my father. Today, he's completely healed. Yeah, yeah. Completely healed. Completely well. Had I received his testimony just as our book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, went into print, had I heard his testimony, amen, I would have included that as the last testimony in the book. By the way, that book has so many testimonies. And one of the best things to do when you've been given a bad diagnosis by the doctor and all that is to just go through the testimonies one by one. And you'd be surprised. They did that. Sometimes I myself, who preached the sermon, I look at their life and they did that. They take what I share really all the way. And I see the lives. These are real life testimonies of people. Every chapter has a testimony. Even that Alzheimer, we are having testimonies of more than one testimony of people suffering from Alzheimer. Reverse. Start recognizing their family members. Come on. Taking the Lord's Supper, yes. The whole fall of man happened because of eating. You say that just eating alone can change. The whole fall of man happened because of eating. And God has ordained that just by simply eating, by eating the Lord's body, amen, you enter back into all that God has for you. Amen. Can I be good? Amen. Amen. It's an anchor of your soul. So what happened when a ship drops anchor and a storm arises? Come on, talk to me. What happens? He has dropped anchor, and then a storm arises. The winds blow against that vessel, that boat, and the waves come and hit the boat. Will it just move off and sway somewhere? Amen? And be at the mercy, tossed to and fro by the waves of the sea? No. Why? Because of the anchor. You don't see the anchor, but the anchor holds you. Amen. And hope is an anchor. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This hope is an anchor. It holds you. Amen. First of all, you think you have hope. You raise your hopes. Amen. You see the hope of your future the way the Bible says that you have. Amen. And those of you who are, you know, planning for marriage, you see, you know, Pastor Prince, I look at my available balance in my ATM. Not much. I look at my future, I want to marry this girl, I don't think next year can do it. No, friend. If you want to marry her, she want to marry you. Okay, you want to marry her, she wants to be married. Ladies must give her the respect, you know. And then you are ready, amen. You're never, never, never ready until, you know, you are there past the 50% point. It's never 100%. You also marry by faith. Listen carefully. It's not like I need to stay with a person to know the person. You are not following the way of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You don't stay together. Most people stay together, break up. Amen. Once you're more than 50% sure, there's 20% you're not sure and all that, don't worry about it. That's the person for you. Amen. If you have quarreled, that is, and you quarrel and you still love one another, that's the person. Haven't quarreled, quarrel first. Amen. Some people say, I love him, Pastor Prince. Have you quarreled? No. How can I quarrel with my darling? You know, yeah, Pastor Prince, look at his face. How to quarrel with his face? Okay, go back and quarrel first. Then come back and talk to me. Amen. If you quarrel, then you still want to get married? Listen, what's the problem? Money. That's the number one thing in today. So, I mean, in this nation of Singapore, as well as all the nations of the world that is listening to this sermon, one of the biggest problems, especially for young people, is money. They want to establish their career and all that. And because they push and push and push and push, they compromise, sin comes in, and many a time they break up. You know? They open their Christmas present too early. The excitement is no more there. They don't want to get married. So the thing is this, God ordained marriage. What you do is that you have hope. The money is not there. In the ATM, you don't see it. Amen. The money is not there. But you fix a faith date. Show God your faith. Fix it. Have hope. Amen. Of a glorious wedding, even. Amen. Amen. Fix the date. Agree in Jesus' name. That's the date. We'll get married in this date. Show God your faith. God will show you the money. He'll give you the supply. And time again, we've seen it happen in our church. It starts with hope, then faith. Amen. And God will supply. Amen. You wait until you have it. That's not faith. You marry by faith, my friend. Can I have a good amen? In everything in life, you do it by faith. If you're sick in your body, start planning. See yourself well. See yourself well. See yourself well. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to tell you that this anchor of the soul will stabilize you. I did not say that you will not be hit when you have hope. In fact, the reason for the anchor is the possibility that the waves, strong waves will come and try to hit you. But you know what? The anchor will pull you back. In fact, it's very interesting. It goes on to say that this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence within the veil or behind the veil, drop down, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, which is the highest order, which is the new covenant order. Listen carefully. It's telling us, you know what it's saying? This anchor has gone. It's like, first of all, anchor is for a boat, right? Amen. It's amazing how Paul uses this picture. When I realized what he's saying, it blew me away. Listen, I'm still here, anchored. Blew me away is an expression. All right, so when I saw that, it's amazing. It's like an anchor that goes into the Holy of Holies where God's presence is. Amen. It stabilizes me. I'm outside here, but there's a rope, you know, a strong, tied to the anchor. And no matter how I sway, no matter how I move and all that, I'll never lose my salvation. I'll never lose my righteousness with God. I may stray for a while. I may go here, go there, but the anchor holds steady, sure and steadfast inside. You know why? The forerunner Jesus, my elder brother, my Lord and Savior, he has gone in. Amen. He's where the anchor is. It's almost like saying this when I realize this. It's like in England, right? There's a place called Plymouth, south of England, there's a place called Plymouth where it's a harbor. The ship will have to cross the English Channel. Let's say the ship wants to go to New York Harbor. The ship will have to cross the English Channel, then go to the main ocean all the way to, right? The Atlantic all the way to the New York Harbor. What he's saying is like this. This ship that is still in the harbor about to take off has not even crossed the English Channel, but his anchor is anchored in New York Harbor. Which means, no matter what, he'll make it. Like you pull it, it's almost like a picture of like, you know, he'll come through. You want some more? When Paul used the word, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. I'll tell you this. Man, time just flies. I just got started, you know. Just got started. But let me tell you this. The word forerunner, when Paul used it during his time, during that time and culture, the forerunner is someone who comes ahead of an important personage. Let's say an important king or an important high noble man or whatever it is during that time, okay? He will send his forerunner. The forerunner will come to the presence of the other king and say, he's on his way now, all right? And he just passed by this place. His presence in the presence of the other king is a guarantee that important personage is coming. What blew my mind is this. This is the part that blew my mind. When I realized that Paul was using the analogy of his day and age, the forerunner usually is a person of no reputation. It is who he represents. The important person is coming. And the Bible says Jesus took the place of the forerunner. He took the place of the forerunner. We are all the afterrunners. But a forerunner is the one that God is looking at. If the forerunner is good, God says you are good. If the forerunner comes in, rude, God rejects the important personage even before he comes. Amen. But Jesus is accepted with God. He is the son in whom God is well pleased. Therefore, it doesn't matter who you are in the natural, right? You are accepted in your forerunner. Amen. Amen. And for sure you'll make it because the Bible says that it's an anchor behind the veil. Amen. Are you all blessed?
Amen.
And I just got started. All right. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands all across this place and say, Father, I thank you. My future, the days ahead of me are full of blessings, full of good things, Lord, that you have in store for me. Every day, you will load me up with your benefits, with your goodness, because you love me and because of what Christ has done. He died for my sins. He was raised for my justification. And now I have access into this favor ground, this grace ground in which I stand. I boast in and hope. I have a positive expectation of the glory of God being fulfilled in my life, in my ministry, in my career, in my marriage, in my children, in all my loved ones, in my church. I will see your glory. And the glory is always manifesting. The glory is always something visible. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice in that. And I rejoice and I boast in my current sufferings, knowing they are fulfilling the objective of producing a character that is never having depressive thoughts, but hopeful thoughts. A character that believes for your goodness to be seen in the future in the land of the living. Amen. No death in the future. No disease in the future. No curse in the future. Your blessings, your health, your shalom, your well-being, your protection. Good days for my family and I. Thank you, Father. And even my sleep will be sweet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, I just want to say this. I talk about sleep because I saw people struggling with sleep. And let me just tell you this. You don't look forward to your bed. Bedtime is like you're afraid because you've been attacked with nightmares. You've been attacked with night visions that is scary and all that. You don't sleep well. You don't look forward to that. But friend, I prophesy to you in Jesus' name right now that you will look forward to your bed because it'll be a time of refreshing. Amen. You look forward because it's a time when God gives to you and you can't wait to wake up to new blessings, to new provisions, to new supply. Amen. You will see that as I sleep, God gives. As I sleep, God gives. That thought will dominate you. And even your sleeping time becomes something you can hope. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. And all the people said,
amen.
Real quick, also someone here. I see you all having lots of quarrels. Married couple, you are quarreling a lot. It's intensified this past few weeks. And the thought of divorce has come up. Amen. Don't do it. You're under attack. The problem is that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. It is not your husband, friend, it's not your wife. It is a principality and a power that's coming against you. I prophesy to you in Jesus' name that God says a turnaround is coming. A turnaround where the restoration will be 120%. You'll be surprised. You never say, I never thought that this is going to be possible for a marriage. We've been married so long and we thought we know each other, but these days are sweet. You will say those things. Those things will come out of your mouth. Don't give up. What I'm saying is that don't give up. Amen. You need to take a walk from each other. Amen. Walk, go somewhere in the park and all that. Talk to God and come back. Amen. And love by faith. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Amen. Do the first works. Do the first romance. Just do it by faith. And the feelings will follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you all happy you came to church today? Amen. Now, one last one. Every head bowed. If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you've never put your trust in Him, my friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be safe and your house. Pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that Christ died on the cross for all my sins. In my place, He bore all the punishment, all the curse of a holy God. Therefore, there is no more curse over my head. There is no more punishment in my future. There is no more judgment for me now. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and He was raised from the dead because He is now my high priest to become my forerunner. Death is not in front of me. Death is behind me. Thank you, Father God. My future is as bright as your grace, as your love. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Stand to your feet. If you prayed that prayer just now and you made Jesus your Savior and Lord, congratulations. You have a new set of DNA. You are now a new creation. Old things are passed away. All the bad things, the old things that are negative are passed away. All things have become new. Believe it. You are now an eagle, no more a chicken. Amen. Praise the Lord. So soar high, fly high. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands all across this place. Father in heaven, this coming week, as all the eagles gather together, Lord, as they gather together in this wonderful nest, Lord, called the church. Father, they are releasing their faith for a wonderful future. Even the future of this week, Father, this coming week, we look at this week with hope. We ask in Jesus' name that they will run smack dab in the middle, Lord, of a great blessing, a surprise blessing that you have in store. And I pray that when they experience that, they will remember this prayer that they prayed, Father. And throughout this week, in the name of Jesus, be thou their shield. Be thou their defense, their protection from every evil, from every infection, from even the dengue mosquitoes, Lord, from all the powers of darkness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be thou their favor in their workplace, in their ministry, wherever they are. Be thou their favor with one another in their marriage, in their family relationships, Lord. Be thou their peace, wonderful peace, shalom well-being. That they wake up every morning with a wonderful expectation of good for that day. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the discernment to know that evil thoughts flying through our heads, they may come, but they're not from us. Give us the gift of ignoring them. Give us the gift of knowing your thoughts, which are good for us and never evil. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you all. Amen. See you again.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
This month, I want to invite you to embark on a powerful journey. A journey of believing right about God's love for you and seeing it change your life. You see, what you believe affects your thoughts, and they in turn affect your emotions and actions. In other words, at the root of every wrong and toxic emotion is a wrong belief. My friend, what you believe is powerful. If you believe right, you will live right. This is why I'm making my New York Times best-selling book, The Power of Right Believing, available to you for a gift of any amount. I share 7 keys here that will lead you out of the vicious cycle of defeat. These are 7 effective Bible-based principles that will help you develop positive habits for right believing. You also learn how to win the battle for your mind and break free of every kind of bondage. The truths shared in this book have helped many people, and you will also get to read their stories here. Stories of freedom from constant fears, deep depression, and long-term addictions. Many have also written in telling me how reading The Power of Right Believing has totally changed their once hopeless situations, and I can't wait for you to experience its transforming power too. Request your copy today and get ready to be inspired and transformed. God bless you.
Thanks to the power of right believing, my mind is being renewed to the truth of God's word. I turn the page to read how God helped a man named Derek through his anxiety attacks. God is so real, and I felt that the testimony was written especially for me. The fear, anxiety, and depression that I had been suffering from for the past 6 months have all gone. Today, for the first time ever, receive your copy of Joseph's New York Times best-selling book, The Power of Right Believing, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Respond now, and we will also send you Joseph's powerful teaching sermon, The Secret of Dissolving Doubts. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you can complete your collection with the Right Believing Capsule USB flash drive, which comes preloaded with 55 inspiring audio sermons. Get ready to be transformed and learn how to win the battle for your mind by developing habits for right believing. Don't miss out on these powerful resources. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-901-4300. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.